Our Lord. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Our great God and Father, we thank you for your grace that enables us to meet in this way this morning. We thank you, Father, for all that you have prepared for us. We honor you that each one of us is known by name. So, Lord, open our eyes to behold you in your word, to see the wonderful things you have done, and capture our hearts to live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please, would you be seated, my dear friends? It's always a great joy and privilege to be part of a confirmation service. Confirmation service is how we, the Anglican Church, is one stream of Christ's one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. So there are many branches, but this is the branch that God has placed us in. And today we welcome new members as part of the Anglican Church. And that means several of you were also baptized here in the cathedral. Others have joined us from other parts of the body of Christ. Together we begin a journey. One of the earliest stories in the Bible is that of two brothers, Cain and Abel. Because of God's different treatment of them, resentment builds up in Cain towards his brother. Cain is warned, "Why are you angry and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Sin is crouching at the door, its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." So he is warned ahead of time of what sin can do, you see. This burning anger, this jealousy against his sibling. Does Cain overcome the anger? He doesn't. Despite the warning, he kills his brother and becomes a fugitive. And so I want this morning, with the help of the PowerPoint, to talk to you about the reality of a sin-gripped life. That's a reality we all share. I illustrated it by the story of Cain, but all of us know how sin can damage us and how sin can put us at odds with God and how sin breaks community. So many of us, we experience it even in our own families. The conflict, the quarreling, the bitterness. So despite God's warning, we come face to face with how powerful sin is. And I believe, my friends, that you actually know that. Because very often, before we commit an act of sin or entertain a sinful thought, there are warnings already. This is not the way to live. But nevertheless, sin sweeps us into committing the act. Some of us may even have the experience of trying to break an addiction, a habit, or an illicit relationship. And despite all that we know and all the counsel we receive, sin has that grip on us and sin is destructive. So how do I break from this reality, which we all have? A sin-gripped life and fractured communities. How do I break from this reality and experience a different life, taste life differently? So that brings me to my topic today in these brief moments, empowered for a new reality. I pray that you might yourself find you want this new reality, but you identify with your powerlessness. We need power for this new life. And this, I bring you good news. God gives us this power. And I want to bring your attention to three aspects of this power that is from God. First, it's the power to be transformed inside out. I guess all of us and psychologists and others are thinking, how can we change our behavior pattern? How can you have a different self-image? But the Bible says, no matter how hard you try, we keep failing. And that's the context in Jeremiah 31. If I may, would you turn to Jeremiah 31 if you have your Bible in whatever form? Some of us have it on the phone, but I actually prefer the book. So if you have it, if you're using the Bible in the pew, that'll be great. So Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. God makes a new promise. God says in verse 31, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." So against the backdrop of recurrent failure, do you experience that? We know what we should do and how we should live, but we keep slipping. We become wayward, just like the people of Israel. Other idols take our attention and we become rebellious. Now, against the backdrop of Israel's recurrent failure, God makes this fantastic promise. The days are coming when I will make a new covenant. Amazing. A covenant is like a marriage relationship. That's what God wants, you see. He didn't make us and then have a detached relationship with us. He wants to know us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to take us through life, past the gates of death. That's what God wants to do. And he will now make a new covenant. The old covenant was centered on the law. You know, loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then the law told us about how we should live with one another. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. So the law was there as the way to life, but the problem was the problem of the human heart. Nothing wrong with the law. That's how to experience life at its best. That's what we were made for. But all of us struggle and fail. And then God says, "But I have set my purpose. I will make a new covenant. I will put my law within you. I will write it on their hearts. I will forgive their sin." Amazing grace, this. It's all God's initiative, right? I'll make a new covenant. I'll put my law within you. I'll write it on your hearts, you know. So we get new impulses, a new motivation, and a new capacity. I'll write it on your hearts. A changed heart, God's law within you. And then personal knowledge of God. That's what God wants to do. This new covenant, "and they shall all know me." This word "know" is to know him relationally, to experience his pleasure, and to walk in his purposes. You know, that's the word, that you may know it, me. Personal knowledge of the Almighty God who created the universe. And then it says, "I will forgive their sin." Isn't that amazing, my friends? That God says, "All that is past, I will forgive you." I think that's tremendous, tremendous grace. So the foundation for this new life is that you're freely forgiven. I guess many of us think we have to earn it, you see. I have to earn God's favor towards us, you know. And perhaps being part of Singapore, that's sort of built into our psyche. You only get what you deserve. But God's way of ruling is very different. That's why it's good news. "I will forgive their sin." Listen to this. "And I will remember their sin no more." He's not going to fling it at you. Sometimes we have difficulty forgetting our sin. But he says, as far as the east is from the west, "I've removed it. So don't live in the shadow of it. I've forgiven it," which means I've forgotten it. I'm not going to fling it in your face along the journey. This is God's gracious goodness. That's the promise made by God. Now, it's a promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So God makes this promise about 600 years or so before Christ comes. And then the Bible tells us this great news, that promise that God made, that he'll give us a new heart, he'll forgive our sin, and we can know him person to person, is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It's the finished work of Jesus. Later on in this service, when we come to Holy Communion, we remember these words. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, when man was going to do man's worst against him, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And then the scripture tells us, Luke chapter 22, verse 20, he took the cup and he said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Do you notice that? Our Lord, conscious that he, through his death, is going to bring us forgiveness of sin and a new heart. So the promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. What a costly sacrifice. If you ask me what changes the human heart, it is this measureless, unconditional love. When you are loved like that, if that doesn't break you and change you, nothing will. This amazing love of Jesus Christ, that he would go to the cross, take your sin and pay the penalty for it, satisfy the wrath of God, set us free to be the children of God. The cup poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. We have this in our songs. I'm so glad we have a range of songbooks. There's this song, "What Can Wash Away My Sin?" Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It can wash it completely clean. It can remove the burden of guilt. And guilt is a paralyzing stroke. Shadow is a paralyzing shadow on your heart. When you carry guilt, you're never fully yourself. But he's carried our guilt away. This is confirmed in the words of Peter when the gospel is proclaimed on the streets of Jerusalem. Peter says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So, it's fulfilled in Christ through his death and in his resurrection. God is showing, this is my king. God is accepting and approving that his death satisfies everything. This is God's way of putting you and me right with him. What we could never do on our own. God has done it, and he vindicates, he shows his approval of Jesus by raising him from the dead. He's alive. And the chains of sin are broken. Your guilt is forgiven. And you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now it is actualized. The promise is actualized by the Holy Spirit. And that's a particular focus for us in this service. Because in confirmation, the bishop receives you with joy into the church of Jesus Christ. And he prays for the filling of the Spirit. That you may be filled with the Spirit. Because this promise of a new reality is made real, is actualized by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit changes us from within. I call your attention to 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And there we have this wonderful description of how the Holy Spirit changes us. So, 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into that same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Holy Spirit." So we're thinking now, power for a new reality. How does it come to us? It comes to us through the Holy Spirit, who changes us from within by enabling us to behold the glory of God in Christ Jesus. What Paul has in mind as he gives us these words is what Moses experienced during the Exodus. So when during the Exodus, Moses would pitch a tent called the Tent of Meeting. And there, whenever Moses goes, it was a tent of meeting for all the people. The scriptures tell us when Moses enters in, the pillar of cloud would come upon the entrance of the tent. And Moses would speak to God face to face. It's there in Exodus 33. This is the background to Paul's writing. Paul is expecting us to have some knowledge of what happened to the people of God before. And now I want to invite you to this tent of meeting, which is your daily devotion. Because I can preach for hours, but if I don't invite you and encourage you that you can experience God personally, you miss His provision. Are you with me, my friends? This is God's provision through Christ Jesus. So it's no longer Moses alone beholding. You have it there in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all, do you have it? We all with unveiled faces. Because what would happen is, after Moses meets with God, his face would be radiant. And the people couldn't bear, well, they couldn't take in the sight. So he'd put a veil. And then the glory would fade. And then he'd go into the tent of meeting and unveil. So the people could never see, the Old Testament people of God could never see the full reflected glory. I'm at pains for you to know what God has done in Christ. In Christ, the veil is removed. The veil that used to diminish or block the full glory. Do you know you and I, and those who are to be confirmed today, especially as you come up, that's how the Holy Spirit comes. He opens your spiritual eyes to behold the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. So the words are all carefully chosen now. We behold as in a mirror. And we are seeing the image of God in Christ. And as we behold His glory, the Word of God says we are being transformed. We are being changed. And so, a friend of mine who has since passed away, he struggled with gambling for many years. It emptied his pockets, it ruined his family life. He was a religious man, but he couldn't break out of the habit. Even though he could see the damage, he just accepted it. Every one of us has our weaknesses, we just get on. Until he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, he experienced this power as he drew near. And he beheld the glory of God, that God in his love would die on the cross for me. That's often what I behold when I am in my tent of meeting. So I'm at pains to invite us all. That's God's provision. Daily, as you do your quiet time, which is reading your scriptures and spending time in prayer, that's when you meet Him, you see. And when you meet Him, that glory transforms you because you behold Christ crucified. That's why we have this hymn, you know, My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee, all the follies of sin, I resign. That's what happens. You won't do it for people. There are people can never merit your kindness. Are you with me, my friends? And there's a lot of injustice in the world. So if we stay at that level, we're back to the old reality. You know, we are all contorted, you know. But Jesus transfigures us. We behold his glory. That's what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration as Peter, James, and John beheld the Lord. And what they were privileged to see is now open to all of us. We have access. Beloved, are you with me? This tent of meeting is the place of transformation. Now, very quickly, most of us have a battle with time to have this tent of meeting, this meeting God one-on-one through prayer and the word. So I suggest two things. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to help the church in Singapore, busy Singaporeans, to recover this. First, practice morning devotion. I'm taking it from the scriptures. It's there in David, and it's there in Joshua, and it's there in our Lord. Early in the morning, they make time for God. I offer this to you. I appeal to you. With God's help, Isaiah says, in Isaiah, God says, I will waken. He wakens me morning by morning. So you set your desire, set your alarm clock, and God will enable you. Don't worry about slow progress. Just make the progress, you know, and get yourself alert. So practice morning devotion. Second, restrict mobile technology. Restrict mobile technology because it takes you, you see. So very quickly, I'll share with you, I now use airplane mode when I'm at home. Because otherwise, it keeps coming, you see. And if you use your phone as an alarm clock, you know what happens, right? To switch off the alarm, all the messages are in, all the bulletins are in. Your mind is already engaged. It's a bit like the billiard ball, you know. It's just sort of being impinged upon and propelled in different directions all at once. I'd rather say, I'll begin the day with God. Because left to myself, I'll probably do the wrong thing. I don't have the capacity for this new reality apart from God. So that's what I wanted you to know. It's the main point today. The power to be transformed inside out. And it's a power that increases as you yield. It's a power in weakness. So like you, I am also engaged in being changed. That's why it says, from glory to glory. We don't appear tomorrow morning angelic. But we are being changed. If you yield, if you meet with God and let God be God, then you don't run your life. You ask him to run your life and to enable you power to be transformed inside out. Secondly, more briefly, power to be Christ's witnesses. Power to be witnesses of Christ. That's where Luke 24, in the passage that Vicar Terry read, stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Because this message, you are witnesses of these things. Jesus tells his disciples, they saw his death, they experienced his ministry, and now he's risen right in front of them. You are witnesses of these things. This message is for the whole world. Repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in all the world. That's what this cathedral church is for. We're not a holy club. I pray we are a holy people being transformed. Are you with me? We are saints in the making. But we exist that the world may know the King has come. And that's crucial for us to announce to the world that the King has indeed come. And that's what a witness is. A witness tells the world that the King has arrived. You shall receive power. God's King has come, and this is what he's like. He gave his life in order that you and I might live. And there is power in his name. There's newness of life. Now for this, we need holy courage, my friends. The world is speaking a different language. How do you connect with the world? And God is giving us courage. What we believe is real. The Holy Spirit makes it real. And we know that the people in our world need such a Savior. There's no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved. And we know it. And it's out of love that we want to share with others. So the love of God, the Holy Spirit, deposits, fills our life, and holy courage. The word power is the word for dynamite. It's an energizing power, you know. It keeps you, so you take time to invite people for Alpha. Some of us have to volunteer for different tasks. The cell leader, God gives you dynamite, gives you power to ring up people, to distribute the responsibilities, because it's a new reality. We don't live for ourselves. I mean, Christianity is not a feel-good religion. It transforms us. We are changed into His likeness, and we share the heart of God. We find our freedom by loving God and serving our neighbor. That's where we find our freedom. And we grow and become all that the Lord has for us. So that's the power that the Holy Spirit gives. You shall be clothed with power from above. That's what today's service is about. You can't enter this reality and you can't grow in this reality without this power. And this power is from the Holy Spirit. Power to courageously share the gospel, power to minister with signs and wonders. Beloved, you are the ones, when people share with you their need, you are the ones who can say to them, and I pray you will, can I pray for you? Whatever the person's religion or persuasion, whatever, can I pray for you? And to pray in the name of Jesus, because there's power in His name, power to demonstrate His reign. Now, church, wonderfully, God has opened the door for the whole church in Singapore to harvest new lives. It's a mighty harvest, I believe it. Your vicar, I've shared with him and with others. Yeah, the pastors receiving now God's encouragement. In His mercy, He's revealing Himself. Against all odds, against the present darkness, comes the light of the gospel. And I trust you will rejoice, because we've been given permission to book the National Stadium for a major rally in May 2019. Your vicar and your pastors will tell you more. It's called Celebration of Hope. And today, as I bring you this message, I believe the Spirit is coming upon us and giving us the power to be witnesses, because we are the ones to bring people to hear this life-transforming, death-defeating gospel. Are you with me? We are the ones, and the power is coming upon us. And we thank God, in this climate, we have been given permission, because the government trusts us that we won't injure inter-religious harmony. We know how to do it within the freedom given to us, and we have the freedom to share our faith and to do it responsibly and to do it courageously. So that's the second. The third, what is this power to enter a new realm? It's the power to be God's radiant people. So first, power to be transformed inside out. It's a simple gospel. Receive the love of God in Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. And you have a new heart. No big program, don't have to spend so much of money. It's not cosmetic change. It's a change of the person from within. Power to be transformed inside out. To be able to forgive people who have wronged you and perhaps changed the course of your life. But let me say to you, nothing and no one can change God's purpose for you. When you come to Christ, He picks up your life and will fulfill it. Are you with me? So you don't have to lose your life being angry with people who have wronged you. This love of Christ transforms. You're healed. You're restored. You're set free. Yeah? Transformed inside out. Secondly, you have power to be witnesses of Christ. That we are telling others, hey, my life has been changed. I'm still changing. But the reason is because of my King. And I know you need him as much as I do. You know? Yeah. Power to be Christ's witness. Third, power to be God's radiant people. Because it's important for us hearing Holy Scripture. What is God's great desire? It's there in Jeremiah 31, 33. Is it not? His great desire in bringing about this new covenant. I will be their God. I will be their God. And they shall be my people. He wants to reign in the midst of us. The whole universe cannot contain this awesome God. But where is his favorite dwelling place? Where does God want to reside? He wants to reside in the midst of his people. That is why Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:16, writing to the church at Corinth, the church at Corinth had so many problems. But he says to them, 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? It's no longer the Jerusalem temple. It's wherever those who believe in Christ, where we meet, that's where God dwells. Which of course raises the question, what kind of people ought we to be? If God is in the midst of us, then we can't be a hypocritical, bickering people. We have to be a people being made, remade in the image of God. So this new life will be tested out in the church's life. We are already saints, holy ones, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, but we are also saints in the making. Because the Holy Spirit is fitting us for glory. He's remaking us. So the language of Paul, which is good for every church to hear, be patient with one another, forgiving one another as Christ, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Colossians 3:14, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Put on love. Even car parking problems. Put on love. God will show the way how we are to handle what is a challenge. It's going to be a topic for the church in the next few months. But it's important, church, how we discuss, what shall I say, issues for which there are different judgment calls. But can we hold together, no? Because the love of God binds us together. We have a picture of it in the New Testament, Acts chapter 2. I'm reading selectively from Acts chapter 2. All who believed were together and had all things in common. Okay, so here we are. So you're going to be confirmed. That means you are made part of the church. Very important. So you didn't come for the church to dispense something on you and then you go off. You become part of the church, right? And we share a common life. Having favor with all the people, that's our witness. Our witness, and people say there's something special about the Christians. They're just like us. They're still in the making, but there's a light that's coming forth from them. Having favor with all the people, the way they keep marriage vows. They have the same struggles, you know, but the way they honor God, there's something about them. Having favor with all the people, the way they care for the society. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. It's a picture of the cathedral. It's a picture we experience today. Because some of you were baptized not so long ago. Others, you were baptized as infants, brought up in a Christian home. Today you take the vows to yourself. I say it this way, okay? God doesn't save you without adding you to the church. And God doesn't add you to the church without first saving you. Church is not about attendance, family tradition, obligation. Church is about loving God and being witnesses for Christ in the world. And this power is not within us. It's not church. His power is from above. But I call you to the tent of meeting because it's the place to renew that power each day. Sometimes a service like a confirmation service can be a threshold moment. God, in his mercy, visits you, you know, makes himself real. But tomorrow, next week, a month from today, a year from today, unless you're at the tent of meeting, you will not be changed. It's a daily walk, a transformation for his glory. Don't look around. There are many different models, but there are many false prophets, false salesmen. Don't look around also because there are many who doubt you, who have spoken their verdict on you. Just send it to the cross. Don't look around, don't look within, because there is a weakness. But look above, because there is a power greater than our weakness. Power to transform you inside out. Power to make you witnesses of Christ. Power to make us God's radiant people. Let us pray. And so in this brief moment, God makes himself known to each one of us, and he waits for a response. Would you speak to him? Because he can hear you. He can hear the desire of your heart. Do you want to enter this new reality? It's a new reality. It's not all at once, but the light begins to transform. We're breathing the breath of heaven. Our souls are set free, and we're living for God's glory. This is the new reality. If you're hungry for God's power, would you just put your hands together? You're seated in your pews. I just invite you, would you put your hands together? Our hands are empty because we need filling. Father, for every life here who's expressing this desire, not my life, not my way, Lord, but your reign. And thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving, Lord, a sinner, a wretched one like me. I thank you for your grace. Yeah, thank you, Lord. And the times I fall, sometimes flagrantly, Lord, deliberately. Other times my hidden faults creep up on me. But both, Lord, my presumptuous sins and my hidden faults, forgive, Lord, cleanse, Lord. Change my heart, O God. So I ask this, Father, thank you, Lord, for the surge of your Spirit. Praise you. In the name of Jesus. Church, would you stand with me? We have a lovely hymn. It continues our prayer. It's the hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. You'll find the words, I believe, on the screen. Would you sing it as a prayer? It's got lovely, lovely words for this life to be transformed and for life eternal to be made real now. Breathe on me, breath of God.
Please turn to page 54 as we